sister. You know, I don't have, I just don't have I don't know how to speak, so I ask the Holy Spirit to interpret the words for each one of us. So before we start, let us go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning as we come before you. Lord, may your word continue to wash us and cleanse us. We lift up this time to you, and it is not by might nor by power, but by thy Spirit, Lord, that we ask that your Holy Spirit would interpret your word for each one of us. If the word comes from man, may it get lost in the message, Lord. So we lift up this time to you. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, I know this, so far this year, our theme has been Christ is the head of this house. So, as a household, there is a husband and a wife and children. And Christ is the head of that. And the families come together to make up this church. So as I look out there, there is probably 1, 2, 3, 4 unmarried, but all of us are married. And this verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31 and 32, captured me because Paul said it is a profound mystery. Now, this word mystery was used several times in the book of Ephesians, but only here that he said it is profound. Well, the word profound means great. It is a great mystery. And the word mystery here refers to something that is hidden before, has not been revealed before. So let's then look at when the first marriage, which Pastor Gary had already pretty much covered at the beginning of this year, in Genesis chapter 22. Chapter 2, verses 22 to 24. And I'll just read it for you. It says, then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. You see here that Paul again referenced this verse that the man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And this is what God has instituted in this earth as this earthly marriage, that this marriage is above everything. It's above all the relationship that we have, even our relationship with our parents, because when they're of age, they are to leave. The man shall cleave, join with a woman, and leave to form this earthly marriage. So what is this mystery? I just was wondering, have you ever been to a corn maze? Or have you, when you go into a corn maze, it is a maze, so you kind of, it's hard to get out of there. But if you were to be able to take yourself back a little bit, maybe there's a tower somewhere that you can go up and you look at down at the corn maze, now you see where everything is going. So it would be a lot easier when you get down there to go through the corn maze. So today I want to take a bird's eye view of what God's eternal purpose is for marriage and why Paul said it is a profound mystery. So this, when this marriage, when God first instituted marriage in Genesis, it didn't seem like it was a mystery. It's pretty clear. But Paul said it is referring to Jesus and the church, Christ and the church. So there is a parallel message, a parallel marriage. There is a marriage that is on this earth, and then there is a marriage that is eternal, and it's currently going on. This marriage is already in place. Now, why did I say that? Why did I say the marriage is already, this heavenly marriage is already in place? So if we look at the traditional Jewish marriage, the father picks, there are three steps. The father first, the father picks the bride. And a couple of weeks ago, we saw Pastor Gary went through that. Abraham looked for a bride, looked for a wife for his son Isaac. So, typically, in that tradition, it was an arranged marriage. So, the father looks for a wife for the bride, for the son. By the same token, our heavenly Father created Eve out of Adam's side to give him his bride. And we saw that the Father said, or God said, that it is not good for man to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. So God put Adam into a deep sleep, and then from his side, he created Eve. And God also said, I will create a helper for him that is suitable for him. So this word helper means, you know, when our sisters would think, well, helper is kind of like maybe an assistant. So it seems to be a little not, it's debasing, but actually, in the original word, helper, is a Hebrew word, aser. In the Bible, it's used 21 times in the Old Testament. And 90% of it was used in relationship to God. How God, when we call out to God, for example, it is in Psalm 121, it says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? That word help is the same word as making a helper. That word help is not because it you're letting somebody offload you, help you out. This help is actually means come to the aid. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. So this help, 90% of the time in the Old Testament, is used to refer to the times when we couldn't do it, and we needed help. We needed God's help. So, and the word suitable, a helper suitable for him. A suitable means that it's the counterpart. It is like him, but different from him. So a lot of times this is kind of probably a cliche saying the wife kind of completes the man, and we also find that a lot of times our wives are kind of just the opposite of us, think differently, and that's even though it is different, God says it is suitable because it is a counterpart. And together, it's a mate that together, it gives you a completeness. So, sisters, actually, I think the sisters, the wives, are absolutely critical in this sense in the marriage. It is equal. It is equal partners. So, when the father picks the bride, for the son. The bride is now the bridegroom now goes to the bride. And they establish a covenant, and that process is called betrothal. We can see in the New Testament, Joseph and Mary was betrothed, and that betrothal process today we don't have that. Maybe the closest thing we have is engagement, but an engagement is not the same as betrothal, because engagement, you can have an engagement, you have a commitment, or say you're going to get married in the future, but you can break it without any legal ramifications. But a betrothal is just like marriage. If you break it, you need a divorce. So betrothal is not just willy-nilly just go and betrothed. So we saw that Joseph the Bible says Joseph is a righteous man. When Mary got pregnant from the Holy Spirit and was going to have a baby, when Joseph and Mary has not been together, the Bible said Joseph was a righteous man, and he was going to divorce her quietly and not to give her public disgrace. So it shows that this betrothal process is committed just like you're getting married, even though the marriage has not been consummated. So we also see that in that betrothal process, we are actually in the heavenly marriage, the church and Christ, we are in that betrothal process, because in the betrothal process, the husband or the groom will give a give a present to the bride. The present that God gives Jesus when he left, before he left, he promised the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is that price that was given to us, was the gift that was given to us. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, it says, "And you were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal of the promised Holy Spirit." So we are marked with the Holy Spirit, and that is the gift that he, and 14 says, who is, meaning the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So it is a deposit. It's also something to remind us that the bridegroom will be coming back. And the bridegroom, when Jesus left, Jesus told his disciples and said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me also. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And I go and prepare, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." So, in the traditional Jewish marriage process during betrothal, the bridegroom will typically go back to his father's house. Back in those days, most people don't have the money to buy another house. So he was to build on to his father's house, add more rooms, and when he is done, and when the father gives the okay, he goes back and marries the woman and have the wedding, marries the bride, and bring her back to the house. So we see that Jesus has already told us he is our bridegroom. He said that he leaves to prepare a place at his father's house, and when he's done, he will come back and bring us to where he is. So we see that this is kind of the we have this parallel. This, even though, you know, I think the people in those days understands this a lot more than we do, because it, you know, we don't have that custom. We don't realize it. So there's this mystery there are breadcrumbs that are sprinkled throughout, the Bible about this marriage that is in heaven. So Jesus said he would come back, and then during the wedding night, when he is ready, and also when the disciples asked Jesus, "When are you coming back?" He said, he doesn't know. Only the Father knows. And the reason, you know, in those days, even when the house and the rooms are prepared or ready, the bridegroom cannot just by himself go. He has to get approval from his father. So He doesn't really control the timing. It's the Father that controls the timing. So the same, by the same token, Jesus is coming back. Only the Father knows. God the Father knows when he's coming back. So, having said all of this, you might say, so what? So what? We know that this is the mystery, is that it points to Christ and the church. I think the key is in Revelation chapter 19, 7 through 9. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 through 9. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. The bride has made herself ready. So what? Also, in the traditional Hebrew marriage, when the bridegroom leaves to prepare the house, the bride, what does the bride do? The bride gets herself ready. So the bride gets, so today we are, the key is knowing that Jesus is going to come back. We need to be ready for him to, and when he comes, we need to be ready. So, in this, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, Jesus said, Paul said that we need to be ready because we continue to have to be washed with water through the word. To get ourselves ready, we need to be washed by water through the Word. Now, water is something that we can wash our exterior. We take baths, we clean, wash our hands. Water has cleansing for. But the Word is what cleanses our minds. God's Word cleanses our mind, even though every day we're out in the world, we have all these filth and we see all these things. Our mind, our thoughts are contaminated by the world, and it is only through the Word, washing of the Word, through the Word, washing with water, through the Word, that we are, that we can be cleansed. So, and secondly, we also need to be Spirit-filled. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. The verses that we read earlier, when Brother Michael led us to read the word. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 is a watershed. It's a watershed verse. It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submitting to one another is not an easy thing for us to do. If it is not done by the Spirit, if we're not Spirit-filled, then it is impossible for us to submit to one another. And Paul said, you submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This word reverence means, it's in the King James says fear. And I think the Chinese translation is probably the most complete, because it means to be respectful, to honor, and to revere. Well, that's what reverence is. But also fear. So the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and that's one of the and that's why we need to live as not as unwise, but as wise. If we have the fear of the Lord, then we will have a living that is living in wisdom, and be wise, live as wise. So what does it mean to be, when it says to be filled with the Spirit? Aren't we all filled with the Spirit? The Lord's, we all have the indwelling Holy Spirit. And verse 19 and 20, it tells us what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19 says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we can be thankful in everything, if we can be thankful for the things that, even if it is something that is not so pleasant that happened to us in our lives, and we can still thank God for in everything, thank Him. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is not from us. Because if it is up to us, we would be complaining. We won't be thanking, or we won't be giving thanks to the Lord. And then Ephesians, go on, Paul went on to talk about wives submitting to your husband as the Lord, as husbands submitting to the Lord. So there is a parallel here. Wives submitting to the husband, and the husband submitting to the Lord, and the husband as if the husband is the Lord. Well, that's, I think the sister said, is going to say, wait a minute. brothers, it is hard, but it, especially when you're equal. So why is it that Paul is just talking about submitting to the husband? And because verse 23 says, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is head of the church. And as difficult as it is, this is what God has ordained. But on the other hand, I think it is very it is difficult for the submission if the husband doesn't love the wife. If the husband loves the wife as Christ loves the church, then the submission to the husband would be easier. But this is, of course, we're not we're talking about, this is the, when we submit not because of whether it is easy or hard, but we submit out of reverence for the Lord. So, here, when we are in a marriage, it is difficult enough because here are two sinners that are self-centered. And when we come together, it's going to have issues in marriages. But God is working on us. Use this earthly relationship for us to be like Christ, to become like Christ, so that when the time comes, when Jesus comes to bring us back to have this heavenly wedding, we will be ready. So this marriage on earth is not forever. 'Cause remember, Jesus said, the Sadducees challenged Jesus and said, if there is, if a woman is married to a man, that has seven brothers, and her husband died, and then she married this. In those days, the tradition is the younger brother will marry the brother's wife, and then to continue continue the descendants. So when that man died also, and then she married all seven brothers. So in resurrection, so which one would she be married to? And Jesus said, well, you don't know about the scriptures, because in heaven there's no given to marriage, or there is no marriage in heaven. The only marriage that is in between us, there's only one marriage in heaven, and that is between Christ and the church. So when we're done, when we leave this body, our marriage is done. It's finished. That covenant is completed. I remember reading somewhere in Bible, the Bible that does say that. I think it's in Romans. Talk about that. So when we focus in this earthly marriage, this earthly marriage is to teach us how to become more Christ-like, so we will be ready. The bride will be ready when Jesus comes back. So I urge brothers and sisters that, you know, when we're in this, our family have a marriage relationship in this life, reflects our relationship eventually with Christ, if we perfect that. And of course, in this world, it's not going to be perfected until we go to see the Lord. So I ask that we will continue to in this earthly journey, that we will continue to honor God's word and honor His teaching through the relationship of between a husband and a wife, may the Lord bless His own words. Thank you.